Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. We are back for part two. So I am super excited. We are now on episode three, and we are going to jump right back into where we left off on episode two. Garland and I had just moved back to Louisiana, and we are slapped in the face with that Garland can't go back to work. So now what are we going to do? The true struggles of leaving everything that was comfortable to come back to Louisiana where we were so unsettled. So let's jump right into it. Let's escape for the next hour and let's get to know me and Garland and let's see what happens. Our adventure begins now. Hey guys, welcome back. We are back to Escapes Power Couple, episode number two. Starting where we left off, if you weren't with us last time, we had just moved back from Arkansas and we had the intentions of Garland going straight to work with waste management, and it all came to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I had a DOT physical to take before I went to work, and I didn't know it, but I needed to have a hernia surgery. I didn't have insurance, actually. There was a whole nother struggle there because I was unemployed. So,
oh, I totally forgot about that part.
Yeah, it's a real struggle here. So Lally Kent Medical Center.
Yeah, in our awesome town of Independence.
Yeah, they took care of me. I don't think it cost us anything.
I don't think it cost us a dime.
Yeah, I had to get on a waiting list. I had to wait about a month. And then once I had the surgery, I know the recovery was at least 8 weeks. So I was out of work for a few months upon just moving back home.
And the money struggles start all over again.
Welcome home.
Welcome home, lovebirds.
Yeah. So what type of work? Tell them what you were doing at the time.
Oh, man. So when we came back, I tried to get right back into just property management because I had fallen in love with it when we were in Arkansas. And here and are there, our property management and the apartments that we have here were of nothing what I was used to back in Arkansas. And so that really didn't last too long. It wasn't a fan favorite. I needed something different. So you had your surgery and went to work.
Yeah. What was interesting about going to work at Waste Management was a lot of people wouldn't realize this about the industry, but I was going to be a residential truck driver. Well, in the 1 month surgery wait time and the 2-month recovery time, they come out with a new policy where they were only hiring driver helpers. So what that meant was I had to work on the back of the truck as a helper and drive the truck. So you would take turns. Some days you might be on the back of the truck all day. Some days you might drive all day. Some days you might be partnered up with another driver taking turns every hour or 2 hours, however we worked it out. So needless to say, after 3 years of college, I found myself on the back of a garbage truck.
That was, I don't really think that it bothered me that much. I think it bothered you a little bit.
No, it was hard work. It was really hard work. I have the utmost respect for those guys still today.
And in the rain, in the cold,
the one thing that you don't think about when you put your garbage out is that the truck doesn't stop in the rain. The truck doesn't stop in a thunderstorm. So I remember being there for 2 weeks before it rained. And I can remember the driver that was training me. It was storming, raining. He pulled up to the first stop in the morning and was like, all right, get out. And let me tell you, folks, that is a miserable feeling. It was something to get over, you know, something to man up and get through. And I quickly learned that it was important to have the right gear to get the job done.
So, do you think that that humbled you?
I think I was humble before, but I tell you what, I had it on my mind when I went to work there that I was going to be a manager. I went there as a driver to become a manager. So I knew that it was a means to an end. And it was that, because I'll tell you, within 6 months of being there, they made me a lead driver. And then within 2.5 years of being there, I was the residential route manager. So
I think that is where we should kind of pause because exactly what you said, it was truly a means to an end. But when we talk about the means got us through a lot of things that changed during our lifetime, during that too. Our next chapter had started. I had started working for a nonprofit and I was there for quite some time.
So I started at Waste Management in 08. So that 2.5 years to become a route manager, we're in the middle of 2010. And Erica is now pregnant with our first child.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was born in July of
11.
2011.
And it was a gr during that time period, like working at the nonprofit, I had thought that I had found a place that I would stay. I loved what I was doing, helping people. It felt good. I think I've always had that heartstring to help.
The working environment was conducive too. They let you have a pack and play in your office. Like,
Yeah, Kipton was able to come and be a part. Grandparents watched him some days, which was nice, but then other days he was able to be there with me. So it was very conducive. But there came a time, he wasn't very old, and we went to lunch. And when we went to lunch that day, there had been some things that were going on that I just wasn't happy with. I'm definitely a North Compass kind of girl. I'm either black or white. There's
yeah.
sometimes not very good gray area with me.
As a manager, I had flexibility. Erica asked me to meet for lunch, and you know, the work schedule was pretty extreme at Waste Management. I didn't really get away and meet Erica for lunch a lot, so I knew that she wanted to meet. It was probably something important. And
I think it kind of came out something like this. I'm not going back, or I don't want to go back after this lunch.
yeah, Erica met with me, and she was emotionally upset about some things that were going on at work. And you know, as you get to know Erica, one thing you're going to find out is she has a really strong moral compass. And there was just some things going on where she was working that she didn't stand for and didn't want to put her name on. So I was able to be supportive of her at that time, and I took the rest of the day off. We went back to her office and packed her stuff.
That day, I'll never forget that. I think that was the first time that I looked at you and I was just like,
I think you were hesitant because you thought you were quitting.
yeah, and I'm not a quitter.
Yeah, me and Eric are the type of people, we never left somewhere without a 2 week notice. Probably gave them a month notice.
I don't remember exactly when this transpired, but I know that I remember walking in and we're packing my office. And then we had to go down to the HR office and go grab some paperwork. And they really didn't want to give me everything that was in my file. And I remember looking at you saying, this is not going to work. Like, I want my paperwork. And when you get to know Garland a little bit more, he's pretty quiet and he's pretty calm. And I think you just said, I'm going to need you to give her the file.
Yeah. So
We packed up and we left. We didn't have a plan once again.
fortunately, Waste Management had become everything that I was told that it was going to be. And it gave us enough that we needed for Erica to go back to school. I don't know, how much did you have left? A year and a half
A
or 2
year and a
years?
half, almost 2 years. But we sat down once again in our little dark, deep conversations of just, okay, how much money are we going to have? How is this going to work?
We cut some bills out.
We just sat down and said, how are we going to make this work? And I remember saying, okay, we're going to have to take out some financial aid. Like, we're going to have to get some help, or this isn't going to work. And we did.
Well, a lot of people think about, oh, I'm gonna go back to school 12 or 15 hours. You went back to school on a mission.
Yes, I wanted to finish and also had a baby. I mean, Kempton was so small. Yeah. So I was taking 18 to 23 hours a semester. I had to get permission from the university to take that many hours because that's just not, or at that time, I don't know what it is now, but at that time, that was just not something that they allowed you to do very frequently. And so I did. And we still had good times. I was at home with Kempton. And
right. Well, you got your degree and then you landed a blessing of a job, right?
I was one of the top five students in the business class. I think you appreciate it more when you go back.
What was your
sat
degree?
In the front. Business management with a concentration in human resource.
Right. And we think that a lot of that human resources came from the previous experience that you had.
Well, yeah. And I'm definitely a process policy kind of person. I like organization. And so I thought that that would be a great field for me to start in. And when I graduated, one of my teachers and Mr. Ken at Southeastern University knew someone that was looking for a position or had a position that was available with an offshore drilling company. And it was located right there in Covington. And I went, and if you guys ever check my website out, I give a lot of credit to Mike and Laura at OTC because I think that they were number one, a blessing. And Mr. Bill was definitely one of my favorite guys to chat with in the morning. They truly made me a leader. I don't know.
There was a lot of education that was going on. I can remember you would come home from work and just tell me everything you learned that day. So, and it was always something new and interesting. I mean,
and they gave me the freedom to be creative, and I was young, and most of the time in companies, you don't get that. I don't want to say flexibility, but maybe they want to say that they're ready for somebody that's young and they want new ideas and they want you to be intuitive. But then it's always not the case. And there it absolutely was. And I felt like I had found a home.
Yeah, I can remember the amount of freedom they gave you because you started working on the project with
Darren.
Yeah, so
I had the flexibility to help write a program that offshore drilling rigs use to report back to BSEE and MMS. And that was such an amazing project. And to this day, they're actually still using it.
That's awesome. And when all that was happening, I had worked my way up. After being in waste management for 5 years, I became the district operations manager in Baton Rouge. And I wasn't really in that role more than a year before I was kind of targeted by a headhunter who brought me from a solid waste job to a liquid waste job.
Just gets better and better, guys. It just gets better and better.
We won't go into the details of what we're talking about with liquid.
So we're talking about portalettes, guys. Let's be real.
Yeah, but it was a branch manager role, and the manager at waste, as highly as I speak of waste management, the step above me where I was at was occupied by somebody that is still in that role today, almost 10 years later. So I felt like it was what I needed to do to continue to move up and support my family and do better for my family. And so I was able to take a role as a branch manager of another company in the outside of Baton Rouge area. And at that time,
do you remember when you actually got the job offer? I'm testing him because he doesn't have that good of a memory.
No, not like you do, but I know it was very close to the time that we found out that we were pregnant with our second
child. What are you talking about? No, they gave you the offer the day Aubrey was born. It was the day after Aubrey was born.
Wow.
We were still in the hospital and you were having conversations about what was the salary going to look like? What was the job going to look like? Because it was going all the way to Port Allen.
Yeah, this was a big commitment for me, but this was my first six-figure a year job. I mean, this was some serious responsibility. It was what I was looking for, and they gave it to me, and it really worked out. I stayed there for 4 years.
So, Garland, do you want to tell them how old you were when you got that job?
Hold on. This isn't on my sticky note, folks. No, how old was I?
You were very young.
Try to think. Started waste management at 21 and 8 years later. So I was 29.
29 years old.
Yeah. With no college degree.
And I think that that'll be a conversation that we tap into too later on one of the episodes on
maybe so.
What that looks like. But yes, it was such a proud moment for me just looking at where I was in my career and where you were going and our two beautiful children. And we had just finished building our first home.
Well, and there's another thing that we need to summarize here is that me and Erica have always supported each other. So, you know, we worked together in Arkansas. And then when we got back home, I couldn't work for 3 months. And she was working to support us. And then I got a good job at Waste Management, was able to support her while she was going to school. So it was always a back and forth of what we could do to help each other all the time.
So it was like the first time that both of us were settled in and successful. And then I came home and I said, what?
Well, with Aubrey being born, the job in the oil and gas field didn't give her the flexibility that she had when Kipton was a child. And let's face it, we were a point in our life where we could afford for you to make another move. You wanted to open your own business. I don't think we knew what it was, but you
knew. I can remember when I asked Mike and Laura, because I wanted to stay. I remember I struggled with that a lot.
You asked them if you could work from home.
And they did that with me for almost a year.
A little while.
Yeah. A little while. And I'll never forget what that felt like. And I think I keep that in the back of my memory bank for whenever we talk to people that want to come work with us. Or if I talk to other businesses, like I want to know how women in their office are treated, you know, with that was a struggle for me. I wanted to be the successful business person and I wanted to be successful and be able to provide towards our home life too. But then I did not want to miss out on all the opportunities with Aubrey. I think it was a real struggle for me at first when I had to make the phone call to sit down and actually talk to Mike and Laura and tell them that my time had come to an end.
It's really hard for me to remember. I can remember that some general conversations about what was our business gonna be. I mean, you knew you wanted to run your own business, but we talked about a daycare.
Yeah.
I don't know. You helped run a dance studio for a while in the meantime. It's funny because there's a lot of people out there like Erica. Erica would lay in bed at night and look at houses, house plans, house designs. I mean, Pinterest was definitely around, but it didn't seem like it was as big as it is now. But you were very much into houses and design.
I really don't know how it transpired that was going to be the business model.
Well, I know from my experience where I was working in the corporate world, at Waste Management, I had 150 drivers under me. I remembered the stress that I had of all of these employees. And it gets stressful when dealing with that many employees. So I remember for me, what was so interesting about being a home builder was that all of your employees were contractors and they could be replaced without calling HR, which was so much different.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. Talking topic.
Yes.
Because now is that truly how we feel? No, but I do remember like us going back and forth. My mom's an entrepreneur, guys. So she's owned quite a few businesses, started them, made them very successful and sold and then started and sold. So I think I had that drive, maybe.
I do remember that we decided to build our own house and we were going to contract it out ourselves. We did not have a builder's license per se, but in the state of Louisiana, you can pull a permit and contract the job out yourself. So that's what we did. The house that we're sitting in right now, making this podcast, we contracted it out ourselves without a license. And once we were able to do that, we knew that we were able to do it for other people.
Yeah. I think that when I look back, there were lots of learning curves throughout our process, just our journey within itself to get us to just that point where we made the decision that this is what we were going to do.
Yeah, I remember I wanted it to be G and E, and you made it E and G. I'm just
I think that
so I stayed working where I was at, and Erica started this business by herself. And there's so many things that we can talk about in the journey, really. It's interesting that with Erica's business mind, like, I remember you spent $7,000 building a website, and we didn't even have a contract to build a house yet. Like, you were smart enough that you knew that we had to build a brand when we were building the business. And that's something that still sticks out to me today.
So if y'all only could see how I look at him when he talks about me like that, it makes every moment that I want to wring his neck better.
Well, we need to do some more podcasts.
No, but I do know that I agree with you. I think you said something earlier that was really important. And I am sure through this process of getting on our podcast and our power couples that we're going to talk to, I bet it's going to be a common factor that we see that you have to 100% support each other. Because I think when I look back on it, and even going over the last episode that we talked about and then plan this one today, it wouldn't have worked if we wouldn't have supported each other. There were some real struggles in Arkansas, babe. I remember, do you remember the day that I called you and I was like, we only have $10 in the account?
Let me key up a future conversation topic. It wouldn't have worked if we kept our money separate.
Yeah.
From day one, if I made $8 an hour and you made 10, then we made 18.
That's right.
And that's how it's always been. And that's
how we're going to talk about that. That's going to be on another podcast for sure, because I think a lot of couples talk about that. That's a touchy topic. And so I think that we'll definitely get into that. But I believe that when you are a solid unit, that you support each other. And I think that that's one thing that we've continued to do. Let's be open and real right now. We just had a conversation with our business coach, and you 100% support everything that's going on.
Yeah, even this podcast.
I know.
Who knew I would be so good at this, though, right?
You are good at it. You are good at it. And so I know you joke about the name of the business that we came up with, but I think that it symbolizes everything that we are.
Yeah, I mean,
E and G, we're together, everything together.
Yeah, and where we're at in the timeline on this story right now is that I am still a branch manager in the liquid waste industry. And Erica has launched a new business.
Scary.
I can remember the first house.
So we won't use our client's name, but this is what I will tell you. That client had 100% confidence in me because we did not have our license when he was talking to us about starting his house.
Right. He knew we were working on getting the license. And basically right when we got the license, we could start.
We could start. I remember being like, oh my gosh. So truth be told, I went and took the test and failed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those tears?
Did you take it once or twice?
I took it. I took the business law section and passed that with 100. Mm-hmm. And then turned around and had to take the actual mathematical side of it and failed. Oh my gosh. Do you remember the tears? I was so devastated. I don't like to fail at anything in life.
Right. And you had a class and you had study guides and things like that, but there were still some mathematical equations that the book didn't give you an answer to. I understand.
And so who came in and saved the day?
So we had to get this license or we weren't going to be able to build this house. So once again, Garland here gets a book out. And within 2 days of studying and reading it, I think you told me on a Friday I need to take the test.
I said, gee, we have until Tuesday.
Yeah. And I went and took the test, y'all. And let me tell you, when I was done answering all the questions, and at this point, I wasn't so much of a praying person, but I said a really strong prayer because that test was not easy. And we passed and we got our license. after what, 2 or 3 days of me studying. Erica had been taking these classes to prep her for the test. So just to picture us sitting in the living room for 2 days with note cards that Erica had written to study for herself, and she's trying to teach them to me.
Yeah.
And I'm in the liquid waste industry still.
And he's still working full time. And at night he's coming home and he's studying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'm such a risk taker and I don't like to fail. I can just remember saying, you've got this. And then we'll set up as a dual party and we'll do it. We'll make it work. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So the business is in both of our names. It didn't matter which one of us had the actual test, you know, actually in all reality,
we share 50-50.
We do. But I was going to say, in all reality, you knew more and still know more about the process than me, even though I passed the test.
But once again, that's 100% supportive of each other. And I think that that goes right back to.
Let's fast forward to COVID hits. And that is when E&G is, what, 2 or 3 years in business?
Yes.
And actually business picked up. You know, everybody wanted to do something with their house. They were stuck at home. And it was getting to a point with the business that Erica needed to hire somebody. And I was getting to be 12 years in corporate America. Let's face it, I wasn't the happiest person every morning I got up to go to work.
But let's talk about what time you left for work.
Yeah, being that I manage drivers, a lot of times my alarm would go off at 3 a.m. or 3:30 in the morning. I needed to be there when the drivers left the yard around 5 a.m. or 5:30. So I'll say for 12 years, I was never here in the morning. And definitely, I don't know how old the kids were when COVID hit, but I took a separation package when COVID hit. And I came.
But I remember, and this goes back to supporting each other again. Do you remember I'm the one that came to you and I was like, see if they'll offer you a package. There's nobody that's going to support our business more than what you will.
Right. Well, it was,
if it'll work.
It was what I wanted. And to be honest, I'm going to remind you of this. I had asked you prior to COVID about coming to work for you and you were nervous because I was making six figures a year. Was our kids' lifestyle going to change? Was our lifestyle going to change?
Like, we had bills, y'all. Yeah, we had bills. Yeah. And COVID was hitting and we didn't know what the world was going to do.
Well, so we took the package. The package was going to support our lifestyle for 3 to 6 months anyway, whether I worked or not. So, you know, that's when I came to work with Erica. Was
the happiest day of your life. Oh, tell them all about her. No. And like you said, fast forward, you come to work and all of these little topics we're going to get into, I think, like when we start sitting down and we dig in, but I want everyone to have like a synopsis of, you know, who we are, where it's come from and how we ended up where we are. And I really think that part of that comes in from when we sat down and once again, made a life decision to do this because it was very scary. If you come and work with E&G full time, what happens if COVID hits and we have nothing?
So let's talk about the vehicles though. This will tell you about how confident we were though. I always had a company vehicle.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
So when I left the job, a friend of mine had to drive me home. So now we're a one vehicle family and I need a work truck. So we go and trade Erica's Suburban in for me, a brand new F-150 with 0% interest. It wasn't just a splurge, but it was because it made the best financial sense. But I get a new F-150 and we go to a used car lot and we bought you a nice Ford Fusion.
Yes. And he's smirking because I have not.
She's the Tahoe and Suburban mom.
Yeah, I am definitely
not the Ford Fusion type.
But I was trying to be cost conscious. I was getting a little bit nervous about what the economy was going to be doing.
And we had to pay for health insurance.
Yes. And that'll be something that we get into on the business education pods. So what that looks like whenever we are merging salaries and not really knowing where we were going, I think we both were very steadfast that it wasn't going to fail. Because once again, we're not going to let things fail. But you still had to be financially savvy. We knew how much money you were going to be bringing in off your severance package.
Right, but you were on.
And how many contracts did we have? One, two, maybe?
How long did you have the fusion?
Oh, not long. It didn't last very long.
Maybe 90 days.
Yeah, I remember putting the kids in and out of it. And I was like, this is not going to work. Yeah. This is not going to work. And he's smiling.
Smiling here. I cannot believe that I talked her into leaving a car lot and a Ford Fusion.
Yeah, because the whole deal was that we were going there to get you a used truck. But when we talked to our friend that worked at the dealership, he said, you can go and get a brand new truck for 0% interest and it's going to be a cheaper note. And we just did it. And I tried to suck it up buttercup, right? Well, suck it up buttercup didn't last very long.
No. Well, the jobs picked up. We were able to do remodels. You know, we expanded from just new construction to now we were doing additions and remodels. And then there was a hurricane that hit and work really blew up. So we're pretty close to where we are now in the history of Erica and Garland.
Erica and Garland in two podcasts. No, I think that the way we will wrap it up is I will say that our journey has been more than extraordinary. And when I look back at it and where we are and where we're going, our future goals for our business and for our families is the sky's the limit. Yeah. And I can't wait to see where it goes as long as I'm doing it with you.
Thank you, baby. One thing that just from starting this that has opened my eyes today, and we've skipped over a lot of people, but I'd like to make sure and take our opportunities when we're doing these podcasts to maybe mention some of the people that shaped who we are throughout this journey. So as we tell some of these stories, I'd like to bring more of those people back in because those are some very special people putting our lives for special reasons that helped us get where we are. And it's something I really didn't even imagine was going to come about from us telling our story.
I think that God definitely has a plan. And I think that he has winded our journey and intertwined people into our lives. And we can't wait for some of them are going to be on our podcast.
That's going to be awesome.
And I can't wait. Some of them are going to be mentioned. And I hope that once they are, that they will join us on this new journey that we have. And I can't wait to share mom stories, funny Garland and Erica stories, Garland and Erica fights, because yes, they happen at the office, folks. It's not always roses. But to show that business and entrepreneurship is truly not for the faint of heart. And I think that, especially if you're a couple entrepreneur, there's different mountains and valleys that you face there too. But I think if we keep our heads up, have a little bit of faith, empower, embrace, and elevate people that are around us, that we'll do a damn good job.
Awesome.
Love you.
Love you too.
Oh yeah, we just kissed, all mushy. Thanks guys. Can't wait to start the next episode. Make sure you check us out and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.